Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Pentecost Sunday to you. If you don't know that it's Pentecost Sunday, you do now. So, hey, it's awesome to see some Pentecost Sunday greeting in the chat going on. Man, you guys are lively in the chat. I love to see that. I love to see some community happening. Looked like there was a really great time on Kids Blast this morning, which is really exciting to hear about. So, hey, just before I jump into reading from God's Word this morning, let me just open in a word of prayer. So wherever you're at, if you could just join me in prayer, that would be awesome. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you so much just for how you are moving already in this service and in our lives. I thank you that not for a moment have you forgotten us or neglected us. And I pray right now that as we read your Word, As we study the Bible, Father, that you would speak to us, that you would open the doors of our hearts. God, that you would whisper where you need to whisper, that you would bring a sledgehammer where you need to bring a sledgehammer. But Father, that we would hear your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's do a little thought experiment here. Let's say a Spanish peasant in 1000 AD fell asleep and woke up to the Niña, Pinta, and Santa Maria embarking on their grand exploration 500 years later. Now, while that peasant would no doubt be amazed at how much the world had changed, at the advancements in technology and society, overall, the world would still be fairly familiar. It would have a familiar feeling to it. Now, let's say, what if one of Columbus's sailors woke up in the 21st century to the sound of an iPhone ringing? The world that he woke up in would be almost completely unrecognizable. He might as well have woken up on a different planet. Which, by the way, it was in 1492 that Columbus landed in America, and in 1969 that America landed on the moon. You know, what caused this rapid and unprecedented growth in technological advancement in the last 500 to 600 years? Well, the most important invention in the history of energy production went completely unnoticed for millennia: the kettle. The kettle was the first invention to turn energy, the energy of steam, into motion. The unassuming lid would pop when the steam created enough pressure to displace it. And it wasn't until somewhere around the 1700s that the first steam engine was used in coal mines. And then that began the journey towards the Industrial Revolution. But it all started with a teapot. There are defining moments that can shape the trajectory of human history. But there are also defining moments that can shape the course of a life. And these defining moments could be getting married, perhaps losing a loved one, starting a new job, or traveling to explore different countries and cultures. But often the most transformative defining moments would go completely unnoticed by a bystander. They're things that we attach deep meaning to. Moments that become deeply symbolic to us as individuals. One defining moment that charted the course of history on this very day 2 millennia ago was the day of Pentecost. That day marked the inception of the church and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, not taking away from its global significance, not taking away from its community significance to the church, but Pentecost also carries with it a promise of all, to all believers for a personal Pentecost, a personal defining moment that will alter the course of your life. Our honest conversation on the Holy Spirit this morning is all about that personal Pentecost. I hope to answer the question, can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? We began our series several weeks ago with Paul's endorsement, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." And as followers of Jesus, we need to recognize that what we're talking about here, what Paul is talking about here, is a way of life. Right? He's talking about a way of life, a place of continually being filled, being led, and empowered
by the Holy Spirit. It's a way of life that begins with being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, now don't get me wrong, every Christian has the Holy Spirit within them. But the Holy Spirit doesn't follow the laws of the natural world. You can be full of the Holy Spirit and still be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Spirit, if you haven't heard that language before, it's the language that we use to identify the first time that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's that defining moment, the same Spirit that rested on Jesus is given to his apprentices. Scholar Roger Strongstad, who was a college professor of mine, but also one of the leading Pentecostal theologians of our time, he makes the connection between the Spirit that rested on Jesus and the same Spirit that now rests on the church. And this is what he writes. He says, "Therefore, as Luke reports it, the disciples who were heirs and successors to Jesus' prophetic ministry experienced the Spirit much as Jesus himself did. In other words, just as the Spirit descended upon Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, so the Spirit is poured out upon the disciples at the beginning of their ministry. In addition, just as Jesus was therefore full of the Holy Spirit, so the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. And just as Jesus ministered in the power of the Spirit, so the disciples will witness in the power of the Spirit. Finally, just as the descent of the Spirit upon Jesus makes him the Spirit-anointed prophet, so the pouring out of the Spirit upon the disciples makes them the prophethood of all believers." And as the prophethood of all believers collectively as the church, we have both the power and the responsibility to carry on Jesus' great rescue mission to this world, to carry on the job of announcing the kingdom of God both in word and in action. In the simplest terms possible, Jesus has promised to give us the ability and the boldness to invite people into a life-saving relationship with himself. And it all begins with a personal Pentecost, a defining moment that shapes the trajectory of your life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an outpouring of God's love. It's of his heart for you and his heart for others. Everything that the Holy Spirit touches, he changes. And as we experience God's love in a greater way, so we begin to love others in a greater way. So back to the question at hand, right? Can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the book of Acts outlines 5 different times when people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to walk through these stories together because they kind of set apart different categories or different attitudes, if you will, towards being filled with the Holy Spirit. The first attitude that we see in the book of Acts is longing. Longing. This is represented by the disciples on the day of Pentecost. We read about the events of Pentecost. We read about them last week, about the sound of a mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire that rested upon each of them, and they began to speak in tongues, and people heard them in their own languages. But what you may not have known is that the disciples had been waiting. They'd been anticipating, longing for the Holy Spirit. See, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave the disciples this promise. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. In just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so the disciples postured themselves in prayer as they waited for the promised Holy Spirit. It was from the depths of that longing, from earnest prayers and patient waiting, that the Holy Spirit was poured out. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're like, "Joe, stop talking. I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life." You're ready. You're longing. There's this deep desire within you, in your spirit, to know the Holy Spirit more. Well, the good news is that just as the disciples who were longing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so can you be filled. The second attitude is people who are receptive to the Holy Spirit. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, you know, I don't know if I would go so far as to say that I'm longing for the Holy Spirit. I haven't really been praying for the Holy Spirit. It's not really a deep desire in my life. I'm pretty happy. But you know what? I'm open to it. If this is what God has for me, I'm open to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the Bible promises that you too can be filled. Another account in Acts chapter 8, it says this. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for the new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. You see, the Samaritan believers, they weren't longing for the Holy Spirit, but they were receptive. They were open to what God had for them. And so when Peter prayed for them, they too received the Holy Spirit. So if you're open this morning, if you have a posture of openness and saying, God, do what only you can do. You know, you're my Lord, you're my God, whatever you have for me, I'm open. You too can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the third category may surprise you a little bit, and that is those who are hostile to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here this morning and you want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. You're not even sure why you're tuned in this morning. Maybe someone made you or enticed you, or you're just bored. I don't really know. But you don't really want more of the Holy Spirit. You're not even sure how you feel about being in church now, if I can say that. Well, the good news is you're in good company. Few people would be more hostile to the Holy Spirit than a man named Saul. He witnessed with satisfaction as Stephen became the first martyr of the church. And one day, Saul was on his way to a place called Damascus, and he was going there to round up more Christians, to persecute them, to throw them in prison. And as he was going, his plans were interrupted. They were interrupted by a blinding light from heaven that knocked him to the ground. A voice from heaven got his attention. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He responded. I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now those that were with Paul, they could hear a sound that kind of sounded like thunder, but they couldn't make out the words. And when Paul's visitation was over, he was left laying in a dirt road completely blind. And so his companions, they picked him up and they led him into Damascus. And he waited there for a second visitation. And this visitation was from an apprentice of Jesus by the name of Ananias. And Jesus came to Ananias and told him to go and see Paul. And we're going to pick up in verse 17, Acts 9:17. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. These were Saul's defining moments, the encounter with the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And his change in his life was so radical, so transformative, that he took on a new name to signify his new identity in Christ. From that time on, he was known as the Apostle Paul. And in time, he would bring the good news of Jesus to the entire Mediterranean world. He would write most of our New Testament. And so even if you're a little bit put off by Christianity, even if you're not entirely sure, you know, what it is that you're doing here this morning, don't discount yourself just yet. Because Jesus didn't discount Paul, and he certainly doesn't discount you. You too can be filled with the Holy Spirit. The fourth group are the uninformed. You know, maybe you've just tuned in this morning and you haven't been tracking with us in this series, and this is the first time you've heard of the Holy Spirit, and you're like, why would I want the Holy Spirit? I don't even know who he is. You just don't really know what it is that, or who it is that I'm talking about. Well, you're not alone. Paul, the one that we were just talking about, was on a missionary trip to Ephesus. And when he arrived there, he found a few believers, and so he asked them. And this is in Acts chapter 19. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. See, not knowing everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit doesn't limit you from being filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, most of us, most Christians, most followers of Jesus know more about the Holy Spirit than we actually know him. All you need to know is that he loves you. And that's enough for a start. To know that the Holy Spirit loves you, that he wants what's best for you. That's enough. The fifth category of person is the unlikely. You may be here and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'm not particularly special. Why should I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why me? Well, if that's you, you're setting me up for one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. In the early days of the church, the people were divided into two groups. There were the Jews, and then the non-Jewish people who were known as Gentiles. And in the early days of the church, people believed that you had to become Jewish before you could become a Christian. Well, one day, a Roman officer who was a God-fearing man, he wasn't a convert of Judaism, but he believed in the God of Israel. He was praying, and an angel appeared to him. And the angel commanded him to send for a man named Peter. And this is the same Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost. And as this officer's name was Cornelius, and as Cornelius's men were on their way to go and get Peter, he too had a visitation. As Peter was waiting for dinner, he had a visitation where God told him not to call anyone or anything that God had made clean unclean. And God told him to get up and go to the men who had arrived at his door. And so Peter went up with Cornelius' messengers, and when they arrived at Cornelius' house, Peter began. He said, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Some of you need to hear that again. He begins, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. And as he was explaining the good news of Jesus, something incredible happened. And this is in Acts chapter 10. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" See, this moment defined the accessibility of the Holy Spirit to the rest of the world. It was this moment that signaled that the unlikely were welcomed into the family of God, that they could receive the Holy Spirit, that they too could be filled. And I want to encourage you that today could be your unlikely Pentecost. And so to answer the question, can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? The answer is an overwhelming yes. Yes, yes, yes. And in a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. So I just want to leave you with a question this morning. And that's this. Is this your moment? Is this your defining moment? Is this the day that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Or maybe this is the day where you'll be filled afresh again. Maybe the fire inside of you, the passion for your faith, to share the good news of Jesus has kind of died out and it has fizzled away. Is this your defining moment? To renew your God-given calling. Let today be your day to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let today be the day that the trajectory of your life is altered to align with the Holy Spirit. That this would be the moment where you would allow Him to guide your life. And so we're going to move into a time of response. The band is going to lead us in some worship. They've got a couple songs for us. And I want to invite you, wherever you are, to be open, to be receptive, to be longing for the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a couple different ways that you can respond. One is by staying in a reflective space, in a place of openness, of longing, of allowing God to do what only He can do in your life, to allow Him to transform you and to change you for the better. Another way that you can respond is you can request prayer. There's a prayer button next to the chat. You can have a private conversation with one of our hosts or one of our pastors, and they would love to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit. Another way that you can respond is by filling out an InTouch card, by arranging a meeting with a pastor midweek. And in fact, because I believe that God is going to impact you, the Holy Spirit is going to impact you so significantly, we would love to hear your story. And so make sure you fill out one of those cards and let us know about what God is doing in your life. Let this be your defining moment. So if you would like to, if you're willing, if you're open, I invite you to say this very simple three-word prayer with me. Just put out your hands like this, just in a sign of openness, of receiving. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's wait on God for a moment.